You know, there's also a promise at the end of that song. And I think that promise is very biblical. That if we do put our trust in Him fully, we will not be shaken. Do you believe that? And you know, there are a lot of things in life that can shake us, aren't there? Think about that. A lot of things can shake us. It can be a health situation. It can be a family situation. It can be a financial situation. Things happen that we don't expect. They kind of blindside us. And those things can shake us, can't they? But if we have a foundation of Jesus Christ, that is a firm foundation. And those storms of life can come, but we will not be shaken. And I praise God for that promise in His Word. All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'm going to encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew is where we're going to be this morning. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. And we're going to be sharing some words that Jesus shared. And there, actually, last week we looked in chapter 24, Jesus was talking about signs of the end times. He was talking about the fact that He was going to return. We're kind of going back a little bit in chapter 23. And Jesus has some words of wisdom here for not just the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day, but they're also words for us. Matthew chapter 23, we're going to start in verse 31. And I'm going to ask if you found that, if you would stand this morning, if you're able. Matthew chapter 23, beginning in verse 31. Wherefore, you be witnesses to yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets and stone them which are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Let's pray. Lord God, again, we just come to you this morning and we thank you for being the God that you are. We thank you that you are a God that has a plan for each one of our lives. And Lord, we just pray this morning as we've come into your house that we would be attentive to your word. Lord, you have truth to share with us on this morning, truth from your word. And I pray, Lord, that we are eager to hear it, that we are eager to not just hear it, but to also apply it to our lives and let it have an impact on the way that we think and on the way that we live. So, Lord, I pray that your word accomplishes in each one of our hearts and lives exactly what you want it to today. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, this chapter has some realities of life in it. And as you think about realities of life, do we always want to hear the realities of life? Why not? Because sometimes the truth hurts. Any other reasons? It's not always pleasant to hear, is it? Sometimes there are truths shared with us that we don't want to accept, that we don't really want to hear. And you know, we can think of sometimes those realities or that truth, we can think of it as harsh, can't we? I mean, think about the most basic truth that the Bible has to share with us. The reason Jesus Christ came is so that we could have our sins forgiven, right? Everyone agree with that? That is because the reality and the truth is when we die, we will be judged whether we had Christ in our life or not. Do you agree with that? If we have Christ in our life, the sins that we've committed, if we've accepted Him, our sins are under His blood, and we have an eternity in heaven waiting for us. Reality? Yes, everybody should say yes to that question. That is a reality. If you have not accepted Jesus and your sins have not been forgiven, what is the reality of that? No, not good, that is for certain. But again, often we say things like not good because we want to make it not sound as harsh. What is the reality of not having your sins forgiven? The result. It's hell. It is eternal damnation. That is what the Bible says. Does that seem harsh? Does this seem harsh? Yes. Does it change the fact that that's the truth? No. So as we look at God's Word, we have to understand that sometimes it may sound harsh, but it is the truth. And as you go through chapter 23, and we didn't read nearly the whole chapter, but this is the chapter where there are a lot of, Jesus says this phrase over and over again, woe unto you. What does that word woe mean? And it doesn't mean like a horse, it doesn't mean stop. Woe unto you, what does that word mean? Wouldn't want to be you? It's a warning. Shame on you. Do you want anybody ever, especially Jesus, to say, woe unto you? No, not something that you want to hear. But it's something in this chapter he says over and over again. And it's primarily to the religious leaders of the day. If you look in this chapter, many times he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And then he calls them another word, which sounds harsh. But if it's true, it's true, right? He says, woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes, you hypocrites. Calling someone a hypocrite, does that sound harsh? Yes. Can it also be the truth? Yes. And Jesus, as he was sharing this, was sharing the truth with them, that they were hypocrites, that they always looked on everybody else and found all their shortcomings when in reality they had many shortcomings themselves. So all these things that Jesus Christ shares in this chapter, they seem harsh. But there are also truths and realities that he is sharing about that they needed to understand. And to be honest, you and I need to understand in this world that we live in today. And one of the first things that we need to realize, the truth that he shares, is the condition of this world. And sometimes the condition that we find ourselves in. I want you to look at verse 30 and 31. I know we started, I think, at verse 31, but look at 30 and 31. And remember, he's talking to the religious leaders. He says, and you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, you be witnesses to yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. So what Jesus is saying is way back in the Old Testament, God sent prophets to the people to warn them, to steer them in the right direction, to share truth with them. Did they always want to hear the truth? No. So what did they do? What was their response to the prophets coming to share the truth with them? They killed them. You want to shut somebody up? What's the best way to shut them up? You end their life. They're not going to talk anymore, are they? And Jesus was sharing that that's what they had done to the prophets. But Jesus is also saying, here's what you say. If we had been in the days of our fathers, if we lived back then, we wouldn't have done that. We're better than that. We wouldn't have been like them. They thought they were better than the people that had come before. They wouldn't have made that same mistake. Are we ever guilty of that in our lives? You know, I was thinking of an example of this that is often true for us, where we can fall into that same mold of the Pharisees here. Not in killing people, but in the way that we think. Go all the way back. You know, any difficulty we have in our life, any trial, any tribulation, whose fault is it? It's not a trick question. Is it God's fault? You know, so often we hear that in our world. Why does God allow this to happen? Why does he let bad things happen? Well, here's the truth and the reality that the world doesn't want to accept. It isn't God's fault. When God created mankind, where did he put him? He created Adam. Let's go all the way back. He created Adam. Where did he put him? Garden of Eden. He created Eve to be his helper, right? Got a man and a woman there in the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden like? Perfect. I've heard that word. I heard paradise. Kind of heaven on earth. Was there death there? Okay. Was there sickness and disease there? Do you think they worried about financial difficulties? While they were in the Garden of Eden, did they have family problems? Later on they would, I know. I'm talking in the Garden of Eden. So God put them in this perfect place where none of those challenges we have today, none of those things were there, were they? That was God's plan, right? Everybody say yes. Okay, you're with me. So God created this perfect place for man to be. And then what happened? Eve screwed it up, right? No. No, I'm joking. Relax. Eve did first. And then Adam did. So they both did. That's the bottom line. They both messed it up, didn't they? When they chose to go against God's direction, because God did give them free will, which means they had a choice. Whenever we have a choice, we can make one of two decisions, right? A good choice or a bad choice. They had a decision. They made what? Bad choice, which resulted in what? Sin. Punishment. Banishment. So now they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. What do they have to deal with? Reality, which means what? Death. Sickness. Financial issues. They had to work. They had to toil. They had to pull weeds. They had to do all kinds of things that aren't any fun because of the choice that they made. So it's all Adam and Eve's fault. How dare they do that? And do we ever begin to think, boy, if I'd have been there, I wouldn't have done that. They really messed things up. But if God had created me and put me in there, I never would have done that. I would have made a better decision. Do we ever think that in our minds? Be honest, do we? And here's the other question. Would we really have made better decisions? How many of you have ever sinned in your life, gone against what God's word says? Okay, yeah, you didn't make a better decision, did you? We're all guilty of that. We can fall into the same line of thinking as the Pharisees if we begin to think, oh, I would have done better. I wouldn't have done that. We mess up all the time. That is what we're very good at. Going against the truth of what God shares with us. Why? Because I wrote these things down, because we can be stubborn and we can be foolish. Are all of us capable of being stubborn and foolish? Okay, look at the person next to you and tell them you're capable of being stubborn and foolish. All right. Did any of you look at the person next to you and say, you are stubborn and foolish? I hope not. I said to say you're capable of it. It is all of us. Understand that. That is the condition of the world. It was the condition of Adam and Eve that they were capable of making bad choices, and they did. But it is also the condition of you and I today. We are also capable of making bad decisions, and we do at times. That is the reality, that is the truth, that is the condition of the world. That's a harsh reality we don't always want to hear. You want to know why bad things happen in this world? It's because of us. It's our fault. Boy, it got quiet when I said that. Now, that isn't to say somebody gets sick and you go up to them and ask them, what did you do wrong? That's not the way it works. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. I don't know. That's irrelevant. Things happen because it was set in motion by sin. And we all get to experience the results of that because we all fall short. So again, God didn't do it, we did. Why do bad things happen in the world? Because we mess up. Period. That is a harsh reality that Jesus was sharing with the Pharisees here and that I think we need to understand. But it doesn't end there. Jesus goes on to share, if you look down in verse 37, we see that God intervenes. Look in verse 37. Excuse me, 34. I didn't think that was right. Look in verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send to you prophets and wise men and scribes. I send. Who is that I that it's talking about? God. He sends. That's an active thing, right? This is where God intervenes. People screw up. People get off course. We screw up. We get off course. And what does God say? I send people to get you in the right direction. That's what prophets were for. And he also shared, you went on to kill a lot of them. And who is sharing this? Jesus. Did God also send his son, Jesus? Everybody say yes. Yes. John 3:16. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's stop right there. So who gave his son? Who sent his son? God did. God intervening. Why? Because we screwed it all up. He intervened in the Old Testament and sent the prophets. He intervened in the New Testament. And you know what he sent? He sent Jesus Christ to us. And again, when God intervenes, there is another opportunity, isn't it, to make a choice. When God sent the prophets in the Old Testament, the people had a choice. Listen to them or don't listen to them, right? A choice that God gave them. God sent Jesus for us. What is the choice that we have? What's the opportunity we have? To accept him, listen to him and accept him or not. This is God intervening, God providing an opportunity. But as God provides this opportunity, God has an outcome he wants to see. Do we understand that? Do you ever give your kids a choice, but there's something you want them to choose? Does that ever happen? You give them a choice, but there's one you really want them to choose this. Well, God gives us a choice, but God also has desires. And the desire that God has is listed in verse 37. And Jesus is sharing it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets. Even these people that messed up, these people that were horrible, they killed God's messengers and stoned them which are sent to you. But this last part is beautiful because it does express God's desire in the midst of that rejection. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That he's talking about Jerusalem and the Jewish people that killed many of the prophets that God sent them, and yet this is still his desire for them. Even though they had messed up that bad, did God still want them to come to him? Yes. If you ever hear somebody, when you're sharing Jesus with them, or you ever in a conversation with someone, and they say, I have done too many bad things. I have gone too far in the wrong direction. God doesn't want me. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I have. Or somebody says, it's too late for me. Or somebody that says, oh, if I go into church, I think the roof would fall in. You ever hear anybody say anything like that? He was talking here to people that had killed the prophets, killed God's messengers. And he says, oh, Jerusalem, how many times I've wanted you like a mother hen to just have you come in so I can put you under my wings. To me, that is a beautiful picture, whether you like chickens or not. My wife hates chickens, right? She likes eating chicken and she likes eggs, but doesn't like chickens. But think of the beautiful picture here. What does that mother hen do? When she gathers those chicks under her wings, why does she do that? Okay, the first thing, and probably the most obvious, is to protect them, right? They are protected from the enemy when they are there under her wings. That's what God is saying he wants to do for us, to protect us, to gather us together under his wings. What other reason does a mother hen have for keeping her chicks close? Keeps them moving in the right direction. Why is that so important? Because we're humans and make mistakes. That is why it is important for us. There is no doubt about that. Yeah, little chicks sometimes like to run off and do their own thing. Is that always good for them? Does the mother hen know that? Yeah. So she wants to gather them under her wings to guide them, to protect them, and to supply their needs. Folks, we don't deserve it, but that's what God wants for us. That is His desire. That's what it says right here. Even for the ones that have made so many mistakes, God still desires that they come to Him so He can spread out His wings, put them over them, and protect them. I don't know about you, but isn't that a beautiful picture? And you know, the reality is, you know, God's desire hasn't changed. Who does He want to come under His wings? Just people that are living a good life? Look in 2 Peter chapter 3. Towards the back of your Bible. I'll really help you. It's after 1 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I have a lot of favorite verses, but I like 2 Peter 3, 9. You may have heard it before. It's a good verse. They're all good. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is God's desire. Who does He want to gather under His wings? He would love to gather everybody under His wings. The invitation is for who? Everybody. It doesn't matter how many things wrong a person has done, His invitation is still for them. To come under His wings so that He can guide them, protect them, care for their needs. It says He is long-suffering. What does that mean? Patient. Do you think God's more patient than we are? Somebody makes a mistake and lets you down. How do you feel about it? Answer that question. How do you feel about it? When somebody lets you down, in whatever way. Angry, disappointed. Okay. What happens when they let you down the second time? Then how do you feel towards them? Angry, disgusted. I saw this expression from a lot of you. Okay. How about when a person lets you down the third time? Then how do you feel towards them? Distressed. Oh, distrust. Yeah, that makes more sense. How about when they let you down a fourth or a fifth time? Yeah, most of you are like, oh yeah, they're done at that point, right? How many times have you let God down? Think about that. I want you to take a moment and seriously think about that in your life. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 80 years. How many times have you let God down? And this is still His desire for you, because He is long-suffering and patient, not willing that any, He doesn't want any to perish. Isn't that an amazing thing? That many of us have let God down, all of us, I'll group you with me, I'm sorry. We have let God down over and over again. We have failed in a lot of areas, in a lot of ways. Guess what? God still loves us. He still wants to gather us under His wings. But again, it's our choice, isn't it? This beautiful verse that it talks about. How often would I have gathered your children, verse 37, the last half of it. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings. And the last three words are so sad. More than three words. Four words, thank you. And you would not. Picture that mother hen really wanting her chicks where they're safe under her wings. And these little chicks deciding they would rather go their own way, so they just go their own way. Is that ever us? That is our choice. God is saying, come to me. It's why he sent Jesus, so that we could come to him, so our relationship with God could be restored. That is why he sent Jesus, so we could come to him and be gathered under his wings. And that is a choice that we have, whether we run towards God or run away from God. That is mankind's choice, and that is our choice. But here's the thing that's interesting, too. This is a choice that I don't believe that we make just once. When we make a choice to turn to God and to come to him, that is a wonderful thing, and we find forgiveness and we find salvation. But do we continue to make choices of whether to go towards God or away from God? Do we continue to make that choice every day? Yes. We make a choice because, again, accepting God is the beginning and the key. But then do we obey God? That's part of running to him and being gathered under his wings. Because when we disobey God, what are we doing? We're saying, I'm going to do my own thing. This is what you say is best for me, but I disagree, so I'm going to do my own thing. That's like a little chick scurrying away out from under the mother's wing. Is it a wise thing? Is it wise for us? Putting our trust in God. That's part of turning to him and following him, isn't it? But how often do we want to trust ourselves instead? How often do we want to trust our own finances, our own thinking, our own wisdom, instead of putting our trust in God? You know what? Whenever we put our trust in ourselves instead of God, what are we doing? We're scurrying out from under his wing and saying, I'm going to go my own way. I know better than God. Here's the thing, folks. God wants to gather us together, but I believe that's a daily decision that we make. To come under God's wings, to follow his word, to follow his guidance. That is what God wants. We are either running under his wings or we are running out from under his wings. Which are you doing in your life? And only you can answer that, you and God. Which are you doing? Are you running under God's wings on a daily basis? Are you obeying him? Are you trusting in him? Are you living a life he would be pleased in? That is what God desires. There's one other verse I want you to look in. That's in Psalms 91. We're going to close with this verse. Psalms 91. Turn there if you would. Psalms 91, verse 4. We talk about God's desire and this picture of being under his wings. This isn't the only place the Bible gives us that picture. In Psalms 91, verse 4, it says this. He shall cover you with his feathers. And under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. Folks, God wants to gather us under his wings. You know, today we're talking about Mother's Day, and obviously this is a beautiful picture of what a mother does, isn't it? Gathering those little chicks. And you ever watch a chicken try to gather her little chicks? What are the chicks doing? One's running that way and one's running that way, and she's trying to get them all together. Motherhood is a challenge, isn't it? Would all you mothers agree with that? But what a beautiful picture that's a mother's desire. To protect, to guide her children. But folks, that is the image that God's Word gives us of his relationship with us. He wants to guide us. He wants to protect us. He wants to keep us under his wing. But the question is, and again, it's our choice. He said this beautiful thing at the end of the verse in Matthew that we're reading, but he said, and you would not. They wouldn't, will we? Will we run to God, run under his wings, run to him for trust, run to him as our guide, trust in him, not ourselves? That is God's desire. And I pray each day we think, am I running under his wings or running out from under his wings? And I pray we choose to run under his wings. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you again for your word. I thank you for this beautiful picture that it gives us of motherhood, but a beautiful picture it gives us of your care and your love for us. That no matter how many times we fall short, no matter how many mistakes we make, when we turn to you and run to you, you are always ready to receive us, to forgive us when we ask for that forgiveness. You're ready to forgive us and just gather us under your wings and care for us and love us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that if there's any person in this place right now that has not come to know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that they would make that decision on this day, today, right now. And Lord, if there are those here that recognize that maybe they've been running away from God instead of towards God, maybe they haven't been putting their full trust in God's word, maybe they haven't been obedient in the way that they should, Lord, I pray that they would turn and instead of running away from God, they'd run to God. But Lord, help us to live like people who want to be under the shelter of our God's wings. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning as we close, the altar is open. And the reason it's open is because God loves us and wants to meet with us. He wants to have that relationship with us. So if there's anything you want to talk to God about this morning, the altar is open. Becky. As we close, I pray you think about this week. Are you running under His wings each and every day? That is His desire, and I pray that's our desire. Mothers, we thank you for being here with us this morning, and we wish you a wonderful Mother's Day today. Again, please remember, go through the classroom doors, and there's a flower or seeds or whatever you want to grab in there, and we just want to recognize you and thank you for being the mothers that you are. Let's bow our heads as we close in prayer. Lord God, thank you again for this day that you've given us. We thank you for your word, for the truth that it contains. And Lord, I just pray that as we go through our weeks, that we would think of ourselves as chicks and to think, are we running to you under your wings or are we running away from you? And Lord, I pray that our desire each and every day is to run towards you, to run to you. Safety under your wings, Lord, I pray that's our desire. Thank you again for the mothers that are here, Lord, and just bless them with a wonderful day today. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful Mother's Day.